Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Utah prairie dogs like to burrow underneath the runway at the Parowan Airport and dig into coffins at the Paragona City Cemetery. Some residents want to shoot the pests on site, but the Utah prairie dog is a threatened species with a population less than 40,000. Earlier this month, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released some new rules clarifying how prairie dogs can be controlled. And today on the program, we're talking about the new rules and how humans and the critters can peacefully coexist. Joining me now is Laura Roman. She is Deputy Field Supervisor for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Utah Field Office, and she joins us by phone from her office here in Salt Lake City. Laura Roman, thanks very much for your time.
Sure, no problem.
Tell us about the Utah prairie dog. Describe the lifespan, the habits, the habitat of these rodents.
Well, the Utah prairie dog lives primarily in southwestern Utah, in eight counties. Most of the population is in Garfield, Wayne, Iron counties, where we also have development happening at the same time. So the development and the prairie dogs overlap in those areas. The prairie dog uses sagebrush habitats primarily, and of course they're one of the keystone species in the sagebrush ecosystem, meaning that a lot of other species rely on the prairie dogs for their own sustenance. So prairie dogs are an important component of the ecosystem.
How are the Utah prairie dogs distinct from other prairie dogs?
They actually look very much alike other prairie dogs. The Utah prairie dog is geographically separated from whitetail prairie dogs and Gunnison prairie dogs, which are the other species in Utah. But they are genetically different based on earlier genetic studies.
I understand the Utah prairie dog was listed as an endangered species in 1973, but they were reclassified as threatened in 1984. What's right. The distinction between those two, and why is it important?
Well, endangered means primarily that the species is bordering on becoming extinct, and threatened, of course, would mean that they're coming close to becoming endangered. So that seems like a very simplistic approach to it, but as far as regulations are concerned, and especially with the Utah prairie dogs, the biggest distinction is that we're able to create what's called 4D rules for these species. And in the case of the Utah prairie dog, this 4D rule has allowed some control of the species in areas where they conflict with human uses.
So what exactly do these new rules say? It's where it presents a clear conflict with humans that the prairie dog, it can't just be a pest, like,
right.
It's ruining your garden. It has to be something more substantial.
Right. So we've had a 4D rule in place for a couple of decades now, in which agricultural users can apply to the Division of Wildlife Resources for a permit to allow them to control some of the prairie dogs if they're interfering with their crop production, for example. And that's important because most of the prairie dogs actually occur on private lands, and we want to be able to work with these landowners to recover the species. And so we recognize that the prairie dogs also create conflicts for the landowners, and we want to be able to balance the conflicts with the species needs on those lands so that we can hopefully work with the landowners to recover the species. More recently, there's been a lot of concern in the local communities because of prairie dogs on airport runways, as you mentioned earlier, and also in the cemeteries. And we agree that airports and cemeteries and prairie dogs don't mix very well. There were certainly burrows in the airport runways and in the cemetery, and of course those cause conflicts both emotionally and from a safety perspective. And so we want to be able to address those concerns.
How was the new rule developed, this 4D rule?
We put out an initial draft notice in the Federal Register, and we received public comments on that notice, and then we finalized that based on the comments and also peer review that we have on the rule.
So there is a point when city officials can eliminate these pests, but they have to go through certain measures before they reach that kind of ultimate phase. You know, do you have to still install fencing, relocate rodents?
Right.
Can you describe the measures before you get to that final stage of eradication?
Right. Well, as you said, all of the above what you just said. we don't want to wipe out prairie dogs everywhere, so we want it to be very specific to areas that are, you know, definitely a concern and also a very site-specific area. So before animals can be killed in these areas, the communities have to fence the areas with prairie dog-proof barrier, and that's already been completed at the Parowan Airport. In fact, Fish and Wildlife Service and the state of Utah and Parowan City paid for that fence. And fencing is about to be installed at the Parowan Cemetery. After Paragouna Cemetery. After the fencing is installed, we translocate out as many animals as possible, and after that, the communities are given a permit to legally control those animals.
I understand you're a biologist by trade. When these rodents are relocated, I mean, do they stay in their new habitat, or do they have some sort of homing device and are able to find their way back to their original nesting areas?
Well, they can't find their way back like a bear or a wolf could. I mean, bears and wolves travel a long ways. So we don't anticipate moving prairie dogs from, like, the cemetery out to the West Desert or up onto the Dixie National Forest and having them come back. What does happen with any translocation of any wildlife species is that you do see a high rate of mortality of those animals because they're not used to their new habitat. But when we're translocating animals, we're looking at more than just the individuals. We're looking at establishing new populations. And so as long as we establish the new population, we consider that to be a success. Having said that, we've been very successful in the last few years, especially up on the Dixie National Forest. They've seen a high degree of success in their new translocation sites.
So what does the future look like for the Utah prairie dog, in your view?
Well, I'm very hopeful right now. We have a very big effort called the Utah Prairie Dog Recovery Implementation Program, which is a large cross-section of agencies and private individuals and local communities where we're really partnering together to try to recover this species. And it's been a much larger effort than we've ever had in the past, and so I'm very hopeful right now. Like I said, we're having more success with translocations, and we're also working with different entities to purchase some properties for prairie dogs where we can actually set aside colonies that we know are very persistent. Mm.
Laura Roman, she's the Deputy Field Supervisor for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here at the Utah Field Office. Laura, thanks very much for your time.
Sure, no problem.
I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Joining us now with a view from Parowan is Parowan City Councilman Dennis Gady. He represents the part of the city where the Parowan Airport is located, and he's also been the Utah Prairie Dog point person for the city, and he joins us by phone from his home in Parowan. And Dennis, thanks very much for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Glad to join in.
How long have the Utah prairie dogs become a real nuisance for residents in your town?
Years. It's been several years that they've really been causing a nuisance. We've lost a lot of businesses coming into town because of them. And so we've lost a lot of revenue. We've lost housing developments from them. And we've lost, you know, the use of our airport at times, and a lot of money's been put into the airport to try to resolve that problem.
Can you describe the problems that you're having at the airport? I mean, it's not just a matter of a nuisance, it's a hazard.
Yes, it is. It's a very big hazard because they don't dig underneath the runway and to where you can't see the burrow itself until the asphalt gets warm and a plane will run across it and it'll collapse and you get, you know, the wheels stuck in the burrow there, and it's very dangerous. Governor Herbert, when he flew down here to Senator Stoll's funeral a few years ago, he flew into Cedar City instead of Parowan, and because he didn't want to land at our airport.
So describe the measures that your town, Parowan, and neighboring Paragona have taken to sort of control the impact that the Utah prairie dog is having on the landscape there.
Well, at the airport, we have implemented a sort of a retaliation against them, if you might want to say that. We go out and fix the holes in the runway. We have to re-blacktop and put concrete in. along the side of the runway, the safety area where they burrow up. We have to go level that back off because it has to be a level field in case the plane runs off the runway into that safety area so they don't crash out there. We've built this fence, 14,000-foot fence around the airport that cost over $300,000, and to keep the prairie dogs out, once we get these trapped that are in there right now, this fence will keep the other ones from coming back in. And over in Paraguna, at the cemetery over there, they've built fences twice now to try to keep them out, and they've tried everything and anything to keep the prairie dogs out of that cemetery, and they're just at wits' ends to try to keep their cemetery, you know, the sanctity of it. It's ruined over there. A lot of people have said that they wish they would have never buried their loved ones over there because of the prairie dog problem.
So we're talking about the new rule, this 4D rule by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I mean, what do you think about the new rule? Is it going to give you guys some relief down there?
It will help. Gary Frazier from the Fish and Wildlife was out here earlier this summer visiting us, and we had a representative from Senator Chavez, Department of Interior out here, and you know, so where we had people, you know, from back east that are in higher up places to actually come out and look at the problem firsthand and see what it is. And you know, that's where we got things, the ball rolling, is once they finally got out here and looked at it. And the 4D rule revision will help us to get rid of them right now after we've trapped them, and it'll help with the cemetery. But our House bill and Senate bill that we put in, the House bill 2973 and Senate bill 1580, if we can get that to pass, which it's being worked on now, but if we can get that to pass, that will make the cemeteries and the airports exempt from the Endangered Species Act, which will protect us in the future about not having to put up with this problem again.
So the people in your town are hopeful at this point.
Yeah, we do have, you know, it's only a little 5-watt light, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We have gained ground from the last couple of years, and we're going to continue to push for the rest of the county and the other counties that are involved in this to help get this problem resolved.
In practice, is the rule in place now?
No, it is not in place now. It has passed, but it has to go through the registry first and basically become law or whatever. It's supposed to go into effect around the 1st of September is when they're hoping to have it completely through all the paperwork stages, you might say.
All right. Well, Parowan City Councilman Dennis Gady, thanks very much for your time and good luck.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you involving me on this call. So thank you very much.
Sure. City Views is a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. Coming up tomorrow, lessons from Vancouver on just what makes a good public space. We hope you'll join us for that discussion tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.